Well, so enjoyable this morning to be in drinking the Spirit with you.
Amen.
So my name is Nathan Crow. I'm from Long Beach. I serve on the campus there, Cal State Long Beach, with the brothers and the sisters. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
I'm here with you this morning. I'm so happy and excited for us to see more concerning the journeying triune God that wants to enter into us.
Amen.
So I'm going to give a little review. Was anyone not here last night for the evening message? Last night, there were a few. Okay, so a little review of the message. Okay, maybe we can turn to the beginning of the outline, right, the front, the cover, and just say the first word together.
Christ.
Say it again.
Christ.
Christ the... Christ, the
living Word of God.
Is He living?
Yes.
Christ is the
living
Word of God. I hope we just see more and more and more this weekend. Every message, this expands in our view of Christ, the living Word of God. Okay, so message one, Christ, we saw, is the eternal Word. And just a few things from this message, just to give you a little impression that, John 1:1, right? Did y'all memorize your verses last night? Hey, whoever memorized the verses, just speak of John 1:1 to 1:3. Let's do it now. Okay? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things into being through Him, and not apart from Him, not one thing came into being. Amen. It's good to speak the Word, right? Okay, so apart from Him, not one thing came into being. So it's important to see that the Word was God. The Word is God. The Word is God. So this is important because we're going to see a picture of the Word from eternity to eternity, okay, this whole weekend. And it's in reference to the Word. And if we don't see that the Word is God, we're really going to miss out. So these verses are so important. And that through His Word, He calls the things not being as being. Right, through His speaking. And so Charles really brought out last night, right, that whenever we even speak a verse to someone, it can call not being as being.
Amen.
They can receive God through one verse, through the living Word. So another thing I enjoyed from last night was that our God doesn't just want to remain a mysterious, hidden God. But He's the Word, so He can be expressed.
Amen.
He can be defined.
Amen.
He can be explained.
Amen.
Right? He had the picture of a flashlight. You know it was a flashlight in his pocket. And you can guess all day what's in his pocket and what thing he really likes. But until he starts to explain about it, then you find out, oh, that's what's in his pocket. So it's like the Lord. The Lord is the Word because He wants to express His Himself and His purpose to us. So He's defined, explained, and expressed.
Amen.
So, and the final question is, He wants to speak to us, but is He speaking to you? And so that was a good question. I like that question. I was like, Lord, are You speaking to me right now?
Amen.
And if He's not speaking to you, why is He not speaking to you? Maybe we're not open. Maybe our heart's not turned. So I hope this weekend just could be a weekend of God speaking personally to us. So let's turn to message two. So He wants to speak, and we're going to see this speaking God. Eventually, He stepped into time. Okay? As not just the eternal Word, which was in message one, the eternal Word, but now as the living Word. As a man, Jesus. Okay, so let's read this title, Message 2, together. I like there's kind of three words here, okay? Let's speak it together. Christ, the living Word, and the life-giving Spirit. Okay, let's have Christ here, living word, life-giving spirit over here. Ready? Christ, the living word, and the life-giving spirit. Okay, that was all right. Okay, try it again. Christ, the living word, and the life-giving spirit. I hope you can see that this is like a little snapshot of the entire New Testament. Christ, the living word, and the life-giving spirit. Okay? So, I hope also this message will cause us to appreciate this, what we have in our hands, this Bible that we have. I hope you can see how living it can be to you right now, today. And so that's why the beginning of the message starts with the four Gospels. So let's just read this point one together. I think it'd be good. The four Gospels are a full record, a picture. A living word, God to us to read, see, and understand. He wants to be the living word for us to read, see, and understand. So in the Gospels, you had these guys, you know, that were around the Lord Jesus, the disciples. They didn't know what they were seeing sometimes, you know. But they were just, they somehow made it around this person. And this person was the living word. Who he was the living word. And so whenever the Lord spoke something, of course, that was the word. But whatever he was doing was the living word. It was his being was the living word. And so this was causing them to receive what? The word. Amen. They were receiving the word by just being and living with the Lord Jesus. And then eventually they came and they wrote it down. All those words that they picked up, that living word they got spoken to them, that they read. They were reading Jesus. And I want you to take this line. They were reading Jesus all the time. And then eventually they wrote it down. They wrote Jesus down on black and white, right? So we can read Jesus today because we have the Bible. But the disciples first read Jesus. The Gospels were an account of the disciples reading a person, a living, breathing person.
Amen.
And they were understanding him. They were getting to know him and know what kind of person he is. And so I like this verse in 1 John 1:1. It's on the other side of your page. We have some verses here. This is a really good verse. I'll read it to you. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, right? We heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we beheld and our hands handled concerning the word of life. Do y'all see that? Concerning the word of
life.
What kind of word do we have? A living word. That's the word of
life.
You see, they're just trying to take it whatever way they can. It's a living word. It's the word of life. It's the word of Christ. You know, whatever you call the word, it's the breathing, living person. It wants to bring you to a person, okay? The word of life. And so these are really, these words make the word, I like to use this word, tangible, right? You can see it, you can hear it, you can touch it, right? The word of life. So that's what the Lord wants to be to us in the Gospels. So why, I like this next point. That's point A, they read the living word. And then B, under point one, said the four Gospels shows us who this person is. Can you highlight that? Who this person is and highlight what kind of person he is. And I hope that every time you pick up the Bible, you can have a little prayer. Lord, I want to know you. I want to see who you are. And what kind of person you are. Sometimes we focus a lot on the doing of the Lord, you know, what he did. And that's good. But it's also, who is this? Who is this person? What kind of person is this? Okay, so I got a little story for you. I got a phone call a few months back. And it was a good friend of mine. And he said, hey, Nathan, I heard, he's a little older than me, actually, but he was going through a situation. He was single, and he said, I know you know this sister, And you know her pretty well. I said, yeah, I know her. And he said, what is she like? You know, what kind of person is she? And you think I said, well, she's 5'5", she has brown hair, she's got, you know, freckle. You know, did I describe the way she looked? I said, you know what? She likes to take care of people. You know, whenever she comes to Long Beach, she goes and visits people that maybe the ones you might not want to visit because they're the tough cases. You know, he's, oh, really? Oh, wow. Okay. And then she likes to spend time with my kids and play with my kids. And she's really sweet. She buys them presents. Oh, okay. And you know, by the end of our conversation, you know what he said? He said, well, I'm really looking forward to meeting her. Right? I hope every time you pick up the word, this is the response you have. I really look forward to meeting him.
Amen.
You know? Because we see what kind of person he is.
Amen.
So, and, you know, they give some description of the Gospels. This is like a great synopsis, if you want a synopsis of all the four Gospels right here. What kind of person he is? He's the King with all authority. Right? What book is that? Matthew, right? Okay. These are the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So, B, he's also a slave serving God. Which one is that? Mark. He's a perfect man as our Savior.
Amen.
Which one is this? Luke. And God incarnate who came to impart life to us. John. Okay, good. So I will tell you one of the stories, maybe two, if I have time. I'll tell you one right now. But this is about a king who has authority. Okay? The Lord was with the disciples in Matthew 8, and he told them, you know, we're going to go to the other side of the sea. So let's get into the boat. So it said the disciples followed him into the boat to get into the boat, to go to the other side. And he gets in the boat, and what does the Lord do? He falls asleep. He's perfectly at rest. A nice boat. I found a nice boat I can rest in. And the disciples get in the boat, and the command was, we're going to go to the other side. But as they went, there rose up, it said a tempest in the sea. And it says waves were coming over the boat, waves and waves and waves were coming over the side of the boat. And the disciples were probably bailing out water, right? I don't know if you feel this way in your human life sometimes. Maybe the Lord leads you, you know, to take this way, you know, in your education or in your work or in your family life or whatever. Suddenly you're in the middle of the sea and here comes some waves, right? And then you start to get anxious. You think, what about my finances? Am I going to be able to afford next semester? What about my friend who has a drug problem? What about my family life? You know, there's some turmoil in my family life. What about my relationships? You know, who am I going to marry? What are they going to be like? Will they be good looking? You know? Bailing out water. Because the tempest is coming in our environment, you know, all kinds of things come. And you know what the Lord, what they did? They said, finally, they were just desperate. You know, it was like, enough bailing out water. Let's, hold on, we got to wake this guy up. Lord, save us. We're perishing. I don't know if you ever had one of those moments. You're in the car, you get in the car. Lord, save me. I'm perishing. Do you ever have a moment like that? And you know what? And you know the Lord, he's full of authority over your situation. When you say that, he then commands the winds and the wave, be silent, be still. Right? And you know what it said after that? It said, and there was great calm. Great calm. I don't know if any of you have been on a sea or a little area of, you know, like a little sea where it's just calm, placid. It looks like a mirror, you know. It's kind of nice. Don't you want that in your daily life? Great calm. You know what? The Lord is with us in the boat of our human life. He's the king. He's the king with authority. He will calm the waves and the winds. Praise the Lord. Let's all say, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
So, another account I like, this is one of my faves, is, we'll move on to the next book. That was Matthew, you know, and then you have Mark. And you know, Mark, this verse that's on the sheet is Mark 10:45. Said the Son of Man did not come to be served, right? Lord, I want to serve you. But he came to serve us and to give his life as a ransom for many. So he's wanting to serve us. So in Mark, he's doing a lot of serving. You know what he's serving with? He serves you with sight. You need sight, don't you? How about you're dumb? You need to speak. I'll serve you with speaking. You know, all kinds of things. Of course, this is the dispensing of his life into us, right? You're lame, walk. Right? He's serving us. He just wants to serve us. And the disciples, in the context of this statement, the disciples came to the Lord and said, Lord, we got a great idea. Give us whatever we want. And the Lord said, he said these words. I love these words. He said, what do you want me to do for you? He didn't say, nah, I know you're going to ask. That's okay. No, he said, what do you want me to do for you? He's so willing to serve them. What do you want me to do for you? And you know what they said? Lord, me and my bro, can we get shotgun in the kingdom? You know, right next to you in the throne. Like there, like, whew, we get to reign right next to Christ. Can you give it to us? And he was still really sweet with them. He said, well, I don't know if you're ready to drink that cup, but it's not mine to give, guys. And then he had an idea. You know, I'm going to take care of them. I'm going to serve them again by showing them their real need. And so he said, let's go to Jericho, okay? I know you asked me that question. That's good. Now let's go to Jericho. I need you to meet somebody. And he led them to Jericho. And there in Jericho, there's a guy next to the side of the road just yelling out. He hears Jesus coming. And he starts yelling out, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Right? And he's blind. He can't see anything. He just hears the Lord. And he's just blind, calling out to the Lord. And the disciples are like, be quiet. Stop that guy, you know? He's too loud. And finally, the Lord is with the disciples, and the Lord doesn't go to him because he's with the disciples. He wants the disciples to hear what he's about to say to this blind man. So he said, bring him here. Let him come. So he said, the Lord's calling you. And he jumps up, throws his garment aside, and comes to the Lord. And the Lord said something to him. You know what the Lord said to the blind man? What do you want me to do for you? Same thing. Yeah. Disciples there are like, oh, sounds like the same question. And he had a better, the blind man had a better response. He said, Lord, that I would receive my sight.
Amen.
Right? That's what the disciples should have said. Lord, I'm blind. I don't see who you are. I don't see what we're supposed to be doing. I need sight. But the Lord took care of them, and he served them by bringing them to Jericho to show them their need. Isn't that sweet, how the Lord operates? At the end of the Matthew account, do you know what they said about the Lord? I don't know if, I like this phrase here. At the end of Matthew, he says, Lord Jesus, Matthew 8, he says, what kind of man is this? Matthew 8:27. I love this. What kind of man is this? You know, we should be reading the Bible. What kind of man is this? This is the kind. There's a kind of man that we see in the Gospels that we can read. We can read this kind of man, this kind of person. Okay, So I hope I impressed you about the Gospels. I hope you're like, man, I can't wait to go back and read all the Gospels again and see what kind of man this is. But we're about to make a turn. It's not just about what kind of man. Okay, this is going to be really cool. I hope you see this. This is point C. C says, let's all read it. Through his death and resurrection, Christ as the Word became the Spirit. He became the Spirit to not only be among them, but in them. So he didn't just want to be among them, like healing them, you know, doing these things, the living Word. You see what kind of person this is? Oh, man, so nice to be around. But then he wanted to be in them. So there's these awesome verses. This is in the Gospels, but it's like a turn from the Gospels to what's on the Lord's heart. Okay? And this is the first place you're going to see it is in John 14. It's on your sheet here, the verse sheet on the other side of the page. You can look at it. I'm going to read it, and I hope you are impressed as I am. But before we read it, I'm going to talk about John 1, 1 and 14 and 18 in context of what we're saying here, okay? So this is now we're getting into, we're kind of on the verge of the epistles, you know, Acts, the epistles and Revelation in the Bible, okay? So in the beginning, right, you have, I'm going to use my finger because I don't have a board, but it's okay because I can reach pretty high up there. You can kind of see. You have God, right? I don't know if you know this diagram. You have God. Before he comes down, he's up here. You know what he is? He's the eternal Word. So we're going to see this diagram in view of the Word. Okay? The Word of God. So he's the eternal Word. This is the triune God as the eternal Word. And you can write EW next to John 1:1 right there. In the beginning was the Word. EW. Okay? Or TG, trying God too. It's all good. And this eternal Word came down, right? Came down. And the Word became flesh. Sometimes we call this incarnation, right? INC, incarnation. But we can also call it living Word. He became the living Word. The eternal Word became the living Word. LW, living Word. And then this, you know, he became a man. Then he lived a human life, HL, in verse 18, HL, which his human life was also the living Word. We see it, you know, in the Gospels, the living Word. But he's about to come to a point here where this thing is looming, right? This is right in front of him. He's heading this way. And this is where we have John 14. He's coming. But this is in his purpose. This is what he wants to accomplish. He says in John 14, I will ask the Father and he will give. Amen. Isn't that cool? Amen. I will ask and he will give. He will give you another comforter. Another comforter. Someone to be with you. Right? To take your case. Another comforter. Someone full of life, that he may be with you. Okay? And then he says, even the Spirit of reality. And I like this, even the Spirit of reality. You know what the Spirit of reality is? Christ. Amen. The Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of reality is Christ. Why? Because the Spirit of reality makes Christ real to you. That's what's important about the Spirit of reality. You want me to be real to you? You need reality. You need the Spirit of reality to make me real. Even the Spirit of reality whom the world cannot receive because it does not behold him or know him, but you know him. And here's these words, circle he, because he abides with you and shall, in these next three words I love, shall be in you. Tell your neighbor, shall be in you. He shall be in you. And then in verse 18, The preposition changes. In verse 18, does it say he in verse 18? In verse 18, it says, I will not leave you as orphans. I am coming to you. So there, praise the Lord for periods. You know, you got these periods here. In between verse 17 and 18, you know what you have? Death, right? He went down into death. And then he resurrected. That's in between 17 and 18. He says, he abides with you and shall be in you. Then it's like, he just can't help it. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you. I want to be with you. I'm coming to you. Amen. So he's alluding to D and R, death and resurrection. So you have his death and resurrection right there in between those verses. I think that's pretty cool. And that's in John. That's the first time he really alludes to what he's really doing. Okay, so let's continue. I hope we all see a little bit more about that as the living word. And in Acts, in the epistles, Christ is the Spirit as our enjoyment. Okay, now we're moving on to the Acts. Okay, so everyone loves the Gospels, right? Even you have red letter edition, the Gospels, so you know what's the word, what are the words that Christ speaks, when actually he's continuing speaking in the Acts, in the epistles, in a revelation. Okay? I know I keep pointing up here like there's something here. But it's like my whiteboard, okay? Literally. Okay. So in Acts, you see the Lord, he calls out to a person, a not so good person, a horrible person that's killing his believers. He calls out to him and he says, why are you persecuting the people that contain me? Or why are you persecuting my lovers? He doesn't say that. In Acts 9, he says, why are you persecuting me? Amen. Why are you persecuting me? Okay, so this is the living word continuing as the life-giving Spirit. How is he within his disciples now? He's the life-giving Spirit. How is Paul, who was persecuting the believers, able to persecute Christ? Because he's the life-giving Spirit. The living word is now the life-giving Spirit within the believers. Okay, so let's all read A together. In Acts, Christ was not only in the disciples, but even one with them. Right? He doesn't even say in. He just says, it's me. That's me. They're one with me. Well, actually, you're kind of in them, Lord, in their spirit. And that's me. I'm one with them. This is his heart. The living word is now within them. Okay. And then many verses in the epistles also show us that Christ as the Spirit lives in us. And, you know, some of us are maybe familiar with verses like Romans 8, 9, and 10 here. So this couple of verses contains the most crucial element in the whole book of Romans. Crucial phrase. Okay, I don't know if you can find it. Let's all read it together and see if you pick it up. From all our fellowship. Ready? But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Yet if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not of him. But if Christ is in you, though the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is life because of Christlessness. So, if Christ is in you, if Christ is in you, tell your neighbor, Christ is in you. Tell your other neighbor, Christ is in you. Christ is in you. The living word is in you. The one in the four gospels is in you. He's in us. He was in the disciples. in the epistles. He was in them. So when they were writing the Bible, actually, Christ was in them, right? Living out through them. This is the account in the epistles, in Romans. So Christ is in them. Of course, in the first phrase, it says the Spirit of God dwells in them. So which is it, the Spirit of God or is it Christ? The Spirit of God is Christ in them. Praise the Lord. The Spirit is Christ.
Amen.
Okay, you can see this in these other verses here. And like in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is the
Spirit,
right? Now the Lord is the Spirit. And then, so the Lord is the Spirit. And then we have a human spirit. Let me read B. I guess that's where we are, right? Is that where we are? B, many verses in the epistle show us that Christ as a spirit lives in us, right? Christ as a spirit lives in us. It's a good phrase to underline. If you can pick that up, take it to the bank. And then number one, the Spirit mentioned in Romans 8 is nothing less or different than Christ himself. Wow, that's great. It's nothing less than Christ himself. Christ as the Spirit is living in every saved person. He's living in every saved person. So there's hope for me. He's living in me. And then number two, we have a human spirit, and Christ as the Spirit is in our spirit so that we can be one spirit with him.
Amen.
And then point three says Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, and Colossians all show us that Christ is in us.
Amen.
So now Christ is in us. So because we have Christ in us, he can be the living word as life. I mean, that's like saying life two ways. The living word as life in us to combat every kind of death. You know what? This living word was, they tried to kill him, you know? You know what? The living word can't be killed. Living word just goes, just resurrects. It's what it is. Just resurrects. So there's something within you that you try to kill it. Yes, whatever the situation, whatever you're going through, there could be going through something that's a little death. Every day we go through things, you know, but there's a person in us that just rises up out of death. That's a living word.
Amen.
And so when we read this in the epistles, not just even in the gospel, but in the epistles, there's the living word. That's lived through the disciples as the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
That we can breathe in, that will work within us as the living word and the life-giving spirit. So now that we are joined to him, I'm going to give some time now to Ken. We're going to kind of share this message, and he's going to tell you more about the rest of this wonderful picture of the journey of the Word of God. The journey, right? He's journeying. He wants to journey. Eventually, he's journeying somewhere. He has a destination, right? And to give you a sense that this person was living again in the disciples, there's a verse I like to speak to you. You can write it down. There's many verses. You could write down the whole thing. But just an example, 1 Thessalonians 5:14. And tell me if you don't think this sounds like Jesus, you know? We exhort you, brothers, admonish the disorderly. It's okay, they're disorderly. Admonish them. Console the faint-hearted. Sustain the weak. Sustain them. And be long-suffering toward all.
Amen.
Who does that sound like? How can Paul be like, how could he speak that? He had the life-giving spirit within him as a living word.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So there's a focus here of the at the bottom. And maybe while Ken's coming up, we can all read the focus together.
Therefore, we should exercise our Well, wonderful. So glad we could be here for a weekend just to contact the Lord as the living word and as the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So I really appreciate what Nathan brought out, which is this story of the word. I think from last night and then also this morning, we really see that God really has a desire, right? He has a desire that was deep in his heart. And he wants this desire to be manifested. He wants to make it known. Actually, he wants to make himself known. The reason we say that he is the word is because the word is the explanation, is the expression, and even the declaration of who God is. So as the eternal word, last night we saw that even the creation, all of creation declares who God is.
Amen.
But in a sense, it's not that concrete. It's not that tangible. You sense there is something about God, just like that testimony that Charles gave last night. There, you have a sense there is a God. There is something about God, right? But it's not that tangible. It's not that concrete. But God has such a desire. He desired to make himself known so much that one day he said, I have to come. Right, I have to come. So you can really see who I am.
Amen.
So he became the living word.
Amen.
So in his incarnation, he is still speaking. Now this speaking is not through the creation, but this speaking now is through a wonderful living person.
Amen.
Sometimes he will speak words to us or to his disciples, and they will say, wow, there's something about this man that is different. But sometimes he will speak nothing. In fact, his speaking nothing is still his speaking. His entire living, his entire human living is just God speaking.
Amen.
Now God's speaking is tangible, right? Those verses you read. The disciples, they saw him, they beheld him, they handled him, they touched him. John was laying on his breast,
yeah,
on the living word. He was living. He's no longer just speaking through some inanimate object anymore, but now he is speaking through a living person.
Amen.
This is who God is, the living word of God.
Amen.
And then we saw, after that, he has to pass through a process because he wants to speak, his speaking to continue. In fact, what happened there was, right, these people, the Jews at the time, they opposed the Lord. They didn't know he was the living word. And because they opposed him, they want to put the speaking to a stop. They said, let's crucify him. Let's kill him. So there will be no more speaking. But what they did not realize is what they did when they killed him, crucified him. Oh, he's the living word. He cannot be killed. So after he died, he resurrected. And in resurrection, he became, right? He became. This is in 1 Corinthians 15:45. I hope you get this verse. 1 Corinthians 15:45. It says the last Adam became what? Became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
So when they thought that they put to a stop the speaking of God, what they did is, no, they could not stop God speaking. They could not stop the word of God. After he died and resurrected, he continues to speak. But now his speaking is within, right? As the life-giving spirit, he entered into the believers.
Amen.
So that he can continue to speak, right? There's a verse on your booklet. I like this verse. Maybe we can read it together in the back, right? We haven't read this verse, I believe. Let's read this together. Having been regenerated, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the living and abiding word of God, right? So here it shows us that he is not only the living word, but now as the life-giving spirit, he is the abiding word.
Amen.
Where is he abiding? He is abiding in the disciples, right? So when you see the disciples, the way they lived, the way they carried themselves, that was just Jesus living again on this earth. Because now, as the Spirit, he's living in them, and he is still speaking. So in all the disciples, right, in all these epistles they wrote, it was God continuing to speak, the Word continuing to declare and to express who God is, right? So in Roman numeral 3, it says, Christ came to be enjoyed by us, first as the Word, and eventually as the Spirit. Right? He came first as the Word, and eventually he came as the Spirit. And A, how about let's read A all together under Roman numeral 3. As the Word, Christ is in the stage of revelation, expression, and explanation. And as the Spirit, he is in the stage of enjoyment and experience. So this is wonderful. When he was living on the earth, Nathan only gave us two of these examples, and you really see who this person is. Don't you want to be with someone like this?
Yes.
Who is full of authority.
Amen.
Over all the situations and environments, and at the same time, he is serving. How can you be a king and be a servant at the same time? And yet, this is what we see in the Gospels. This is who the Lord is.
Amen.
I think when we read the Gospels, when we see who the Lord is, spontaneously within us, there should be an appreciation, right? Do we appreciate who the Lord is? When we see him, we can't help but to appreciate him. But then our knowing who the Lord is should not stop at appreciation, right? We can appreciate him, but then we need to go further.
Amen.
And eventually we need to enter into the stage of experience and enjoyment. You know, perhaps I'll use this as an illustration. At the end of this month, a major holiday is coming up, right? That's Thanksgiving. So what would you say is the main item at Thanksgiving?
Turkey.
A turkey, right? We all love turkey, right? Especially this one brother, he told me recently, oh, so Thanksgiving is my favorite holiday. Oh, because I get to eat the turkey. But not just in a turkey sandwich, but I actually get to eat the real turkey, right? So at Thanksgiving, you could say that, first of all, you have to have a turkey. And that turkey is raw. You can handle the turkey. You can put spices on it, and you need to prepare it, right? That's like the Lord in the Gospels. It says they handled him. They saw him. Maybe they were excited. When you see that turkey in the kitchen, maybe you get excited. Wow, there's a turkey. This is a turkey. But you can't, unfortunately, you can appreciate it, all the things that are going into it. But can you experience and enjoy that turkey in that kind of a form? I hope not. I hope none of you would be so eager to go into the kitchen and start, oh, I'm going to just eat it. Like, no, we can't. We can't do that, right? We can't. Eventually, the turkey has to go through quite a process of being cooked. Whether you bake it in the oven, whether you put it in a fryer, right? And then it becomes something that can be experienced by us.
Amen.
Can be enjoyed by us.
Amen.
Right? It's on the one hand, the Lord is wonderful. He could be with the disciples in the flesh. They could see him. He could talk to them. All this. But that experience is not enough. Eventually, there is the need for him to be experienced further.
Amen.
Right? What about those that were not there with the Lord? What about us who weren't living during that time?
Yeah.
How can we experience him? And how can we know him? Well, he has to go through this process, which is death and resurrection. In a sense, you could say that's like the turkey being cooked, right? And then eventually, it says the last Adam became a life-giving spirit.
Amen.
That means he can now come into us. Now the turkey is not just in the oven, but the turkey is on the table, right? It's on the table. But even the turkey being on the table, it's still not quite enough, right? Why? Because it hasn't gotten into you,
yes.
Right? It hasn't gotten into you. Eventually, he wants to come into us. And this is what we're on right now, is that we need to go from appreciation to experience and enjoyment.
Amen.
And because he is the Spirit, he can actually be experienced and enjoyed by us. And this experience and enjoyment is not just here, but all the time. He is with us all the time, right? This last week, I had such an experience. I don't know how many of you can identify with this, but every Wednesday, I have to drive. I have to drive. I'm from Diamond Bar. By the way, I'm Ken. I have to drive from Diamond Bar to Anaheim. And it's only supposed to be a 20-mile drive, right? But we live in Southern California. I don't know how many of you have this kind of experience. 20 miles. But it could take perhaps up to an hour, right? Maybe even coming here, when you were coming on Friday, you just got stuck on the 91 traffic or the 60 traffic, right? Sometimes what I do is before I leave, I'm anxious. I'm just checking my GPS, typing in the address. What is the best route, right? Oh. And then I'm supposedly, according to Google, taking the best possible route. And then when I'm on that route, the time just goes up and up and up. It's like, this is supposed to be the best route. And I'm driving, and all the time I'm still checking. And then when I'm checking, I'm realizing I should have taken the other way because now that way is faster. Right? So frustrating to be stuck in traffic. And that's kind of my experience a lot of the times. But this last week, as this was happening, I was reminded that, Lord, you are the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Lord, you are inside of me.
Amen.
Lord, I can enjoy you right now.
Amen.
So as I just had a little turn, this little turn. And eventually that frustration turned into enjoyment.
Amen.
It turned into, I'm so happy.
Yeah.
I'm so happy, taste and see.
Amen.
Right? How is that possible? If you were only the living word, right, living in the flesh, the best he could do is sit on the passenger seat and say, Ken, it's okay. Maybe comfort me a little bit. But because he is the Spirit, because he is inside, oh, he can supply me from within. Well, I can enjoy him, right? Often, I think in our lives, we hit frustrations, anxieties, all these kind of things. Well, how do we overcome these things? Well, we have the life-giving Spirit. We have the abiding Word of God. The very Christ that you see in the Gospels now is living inside of us. And when we contact him, then he becomes such a supply to us.
Amen.
John 20:22 is one of the verses listed there. There it shows us that on the eve, right, on the night of his resurrection, after he died and he resurrected, on the night of his resurrection, he came to a closed room. The disciples, they were scared, they were afraid, right? Christ was crucified. They don't know what's going on. And then they were in this room. I don't know what they were doing. But then, just like that, he just showed up. He appeared in their midst. And he spoke with them. Peace be with you. Right? And then he did something marvelous. He didn't give them a lengthy speaking or talk. He just did one thing.
Amen.
It says that he breathed. He breathed into them. He breathed into them. And then he said, receive the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
So from that time on, this Christ became their breath.
Amen.
He breathed himself into them. Receive the life-giving Spirit. Receive the Holy Spirit. So when we come to him, when we contact him, oh, we can breathe him. He's breath to us now. On the one hand, he is the Word, but on the other hand, as the Spirit, he is breath to us. And the Bible shows us, actually, the best way for us to breathe is just to pray. And the simplest way for us to pray is just to call on the Lord.
Amen.
You know, if you haven't been among us for too long, sometimes you might hear some just say, oh, Lord Jesus. Or they'll say it a few times, oh, Lord Jesus. What are they doing? Well, let me tell you, they're breathing.
Amen.
They realize, just like in Jeremiah, it says, when he called upon the name of Jehovah, it says, do not hide your ears from my breathing.
Amen.
So when we call on the Lord, whether it's softly, loudly, oh, we are breathing this one in, right?
Amen.
We're breathing the life-giving spirit into us. And this breath refreshes us.
Amen.
If you live in Southern California, you go outside, that breath might not refresh you that much. I read this year, we had 87 consecutive days, 87 streak, bad air days.
Wow.
Right? Maybe our environment is like that. Just fill with filthy air when you're on your campus. You don't want to hear that. You don't want to see that. You don't want to hear someone tell you this and that. But it just all around. And it almost seems like we're just breathing all these things in. But isn't it good for us to come up here?
Amen.
Immediately, oh, you sense there is the fresh air.
Amen.
Fresh air. We should be like that. Every day, in the morning, oh, take a few breaths of the life-giving spirit.
Amen.
Right? This way, in this kind of a way, the Lord will supply us and strengthen us.
Amen.
Okay, so also another verse that's listed here, I just want to mention this. In 1 Corinthians 12, it shows that not only is he the breath, but in this it shows us that he is also a drink. Because in this verse, in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, it tells us that in one spirit, we were all baptized into one body, and we're all given to drink the one spirit, right? When we are calling, when we're enjoying, we're also drinking the spirit. But in this verse, it also shows us that we can be baptized into the spirit. In the epistles, it also tells us we can be baptized into Christ. So who are we baptized into? Christ or the Spirit? We're just baptized into this wonderful person.
Amen.
Right? Christ is the life-giving Spirit.
Amen.
Right? And this kind of baptism puts us into Christ.
Amen.
Right? When we are baptized, it's not just a religious ritual, but we are put into Christ.
Amen.
We're put into the Spirit so that we can really enjoy.
Amen.
You know, it's one thing to drink from a bottle. It's another thing when you're in a swimming pool and you open your mouth. Oh, let's drink the Spirit. Let's be baptized and let's drink the Spirit.
Right?
Okay, let's go to B. Let's go to B. I will finish. We have to enjoy Christ by realizing him as the Spirit. Therefore, we must not exercise only our mind to understand him. We have to exercise our spirit to contact him.
Amen.
Right? And how about let's read 1 and 2 together.
The unique way to exercise our spirit
is to pray.
As we exercise our spirit in prayer, our aim should be to contact the Lord.
Not first to pray for certain people or things. 2, we should come to the Lord with a spirit fully open, worshiping him, praising him, thanking him. Then we shall know what to pray for, and we shall have much to utter to prayer to the Lord in prayer. So this shows us actually our prayer. Sometimes when we pray, right away we start to pray for things. Maybe you have an exam. You pray, oh Lord, what about that exam? Oh Lord, I need to get a good grade. Give me a good grade in that exam, right? Maybe some of you are thinking about that. But when we come to the Lord, actually the first thing we can do is to contact the Lord.
Amen.
I like that. It says our aim should be to contact the Lord. So when we pray in this way, right, he is able to supply us. He is able to breathe himself into us. He is able to just cause us to really be full of strength, right? And one of the best ways for us to pray to the Lord in this way and to receive him in this way is to just learn to open. And what does it mean to open? Right? What does it mean to open? I would say to open, of course, we're talking about to open our inner being, but maybe the first step is just to open our mouth. Just to open our mouth. And when we open our mouth, sometimes when we speak to other people, when we open our mouth, then something of our inner being gets opened up, right? So we can come to the Lord, just open our mouth, even just to say something to the Lord, to tell the Lord, right? To tell the Lord who he is. Lord, thank you. You are so wonderful.
Amen.
Oh, thank you, Lord, you're so lovely. Thank you, Lord, you care for me, right? When we open our being toward the Lord, open our mouth to the Lord, he is able to come in. And another way you could say that we can open to the Lord is we can open up the Bible. When we open up the Bible, not just in a way of gaining some kind of teaching, but we come to the person. I really appreciated this from what Nathan shared. We are coming to a person.
Amen.
Do you realize, do you have the realization that when you come to this book, you're not just coming to a book, but you are actually coming to a person? How you approach a book and how you approach a person are very different.
Yeah.
Right? Wouldn't you say so?
Yeah.
If I'm coming to a book, I might just open it up. I just read something. I get some information. Is that how we read the Bible? Maybe if you're reading the Bible in that way, perhaps you might think that, oh, there's nothing here. I'm not getting that much. Right? It's telling me all these things that I don't understand. I don't know how to get into it. So then you just feel like the Bible is not real. God is not real. Right? He's not real. This thing can't be real. But if you realize that this is a person, and when you come to the person that is in the Word, that is in here, right? The Word is a person. And then the way you contact it will be very different. Right? That's why a lot of the time, when we come, even before I read anything, I will just talk to the Lord. Right? I will just have a, you know, what if Nathan, right? I come to him, I don't speak a single thing, I just look at him. He'd be like, you're weird. What are you doing? Right? But we come to the Lord in this way. We just like, Right? But if I realize I'm coming to a person, then perhaps I need to talk to the person. Hey, how are you doing, Nathan?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Yeah.
It's good to see you.
Good to see you, too. Do you do that when you come to the Bible? Do you talk to the Lord in this way? Do you say, Lord, it's good to see you. It's good I can be here with you. Yeah. Can we just have a little chat this morning? You know, like, is that the way we come to the Bible? Or do we just come to get some information? Oh, who is this guy? Who is this guy? Who is that person? Which event happened? Does this happen first or did this happen first, right? But instead, we could come and just have a conversation with the Lord. And as we are reading the Word, that is God speaking to us. He is speaking to us through these words that are in the Bible. Right? That's like Nathan just speaking something to me. And then I can respond, even when I'm reading. Sometimes just one word might stand out to you, right? One word. This morning, I was reading this portion. I don't have time to go over it. But in this portion, one word, it just says, stay with us. Stay. Stay. You know, that was the Lord's word to me this morning. I don't know what his word to you is, but the word is stay. Just stay. Right? Just stay. You know, this is the disciples. They're going somewhere. The Lord was appearing to them. And then the Lord was appearing to have gone on, but they said, stay with us. Right? You know, then you can just have, thank you, Nathan. So you can just have a conversation with the Lord in this way. Speak to the Lord, right? And then, okay, sorry. So sometimes, right, we read, you know, great, we're reading, maybe we're conversing, and then we're like, oh, time is up. That's like, hey, how are you doing?
Good.
How are your wife and kids?
Pretty.
You know, are we with that? Are we with that? Are we like that when we come to the Word, come to the living Word? Maybe we do that. I do that too. Sometimes, right? Because we don't realize we're coming to a person.
Amen.
We're still coming just to a book. But no, brothers and sisters, this is a person.
Amen.
There's a person that wants to speak with us.
Amen.
So perhaps at the end, you could say, well, thank you. That was great. I loved speaking. Maybe we can meet up again next time.
Yeah, let's do
How about tomorrow morning?
Sounds great.
Right? Maybe we could say that to the Lord. Oh, Lord, that was so good. Thank you for spending this time with me. I'll see you next morning, but maybe even sooner. Right?
Yeah.
Isn't that good if we can come to the Bible? If we come to the Bible in this way, our time in the Word will be revolutionized.
Amen.
Right? The Lord will be full of the Lord speaking to us. Okay, let's finish by reading Roman numeral 4. And this really summarizes this point that the Word and the person are not two, they're one, right? Okay, let's read this together. In the New Testament, the Spirit and the Word are one. We should not separate the Holy Spirit, whom we have within us, from the Holy Word, which we have in our hands. Those two are one divine reality. So these two are one divine reality. I really hope this weekend, I think this is all of our aspiration to be here, is that we can just really hear the Lord speaking, but also that we can get to know this person as the living Word and also as the life-giving Spirit. Okay.